All right. You know, as we look into the Word of God, we find that the Bible tells us that things has been written, or Paul tells us in his writings, the thing that's happened in the Old Testament, things in the Bible happen as examples that we can learn from them. Now, I want to talk to you today about getting ready for God's abundant promises. And we're going to use the children of Israel for this example so that we can successfully enter into the promises of God. In Joshua 3, we read these words. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Get on your device or in the Bible, wherever. Joshua 3, start with the first verse. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." So Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." Now, here you see the Israelites coming to the River Jordan, and they are getting ready to go over into the promised land. And, you know, have you ever been somewhere or been at a place or expecting something and you know you're right there at it? Tomorrow it's going to happen. Anybody ever been there, you know? I know, you know, when a lot of times when you're a kid, you're going to go on a trip tomorrow or something's going to happen. It's tomorrow. You're expecting, you're getting ready to receive. The Israelites, that's where they were. That's the place they were at. Now, they knew of all of the great miraculous things that had accomplished in the life of the children of Israel since they had left Egypt's bondage. They knew that Moses came to lead their forefathers out of Egypt. They knew the miraculous escape out of Egypt. They knew about the parting of the Red Sea. They knew about the manna from heaven. They knew about water when it came out of the rock, when they didn't have any water. The quail came and gave them, and they had meat. They had the manna from heaven. Their clothes didn't wear out. No one was feeble among them. They knew about God meeting Moses on the mountain. They knew about God speaking at Mount Sinai with, you know, thunder and lightning. And they knew about God fighting for them against their enemies. Everything that had happened to them was really good, but it was just a foretaste, or we might say it was just the appetizer for what was coming next. Hello. You know, let's look at these people called the Israelites. Let's look at them living in the wilderness and then living in the promised land. You know, in the wilderness, they couldn't possess any land, but in the promised land, they could possess all the land that God gave to them. In the wilderness, they kept moving toward God's promise, but in the promised land, they were living in the promises of God. In the wilderness, you know, they wandered for 40 years, but in the promised land, they could dwell securely in their own place. In the wilderness, they just had just barely enough to get by. But in the promised land, they have more than enough. You know, God's miraculous supply in the wilderness was great. But living daily in the blessings of God in the promised land was even better. You know, the people here looked at, you know, some people look at Canaan or the promised land as a type of heaven. But in heaven, you're not going to have no battles to fight. You're not going to have no enemies to fight. Actually, the promised land is a type of the spirit-filled life that we're living right now. The promised land is a picture of us, the believer, living in faith by God in our promised land, having the abundant promises that God supplied right here in the Word of God. So we need to always keep ourselves ready to receive the promises of God. See, they had to get ready to go into the promises of God. We can keep ourselves ready all the time to receive the promises of God. You know, it's a new day. It's a new hour for them. They hadn't been that way before. They'd never been to where they were going. We are in the promised land. They were just getting into it. This is their entry into the promised land. This is telling them how we're there. We're living there. So let's keep ourselves ready. Let's don't get so complacent that we don't keep ourselves ready to receive the abundant blessings of God that belong to us. Now, in Joshua 3:2, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp. And they talked to the people and they commanded them when they see the ark to move out and so forth. Now, I already read that from, I want to read those same verses from the NLT, 2-4. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and move out from your position to follow them, since you've never traveled that way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark, and make sure you don't come any closer. Now, you see, the Ark of the Covenant was where the presence of God dwelt. Now, the priests were showing the way by carrying the ark on their shoulders. They, in the Levitical priesthood, there was the high priest, but the whole tribe of Levi, or the Levitical priesthood, we call it, they are the ones that took care of the tabernacle, or the church, we might say. They were the pastors and the song leaders and everybody that took care of something in the church. Now, they had special ones that carried the Ark of the Covenant. It was where the presence of God dwelt. And so now every time they would move out on a journey, the Ark of the Covenant was always out in front of them. They were following the presence of God. That's where the presence of God dwelt. So the priests were to lead the way. But they were supposed to stay back a certain distance from the ark. And they followed the ark. They followed the presence of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God. That's what they had showed them the way. You see, the Ark of the Covenant represents us being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit living inside of us. And the Word of God tells us that He will lead, guide, and direct us. He will show us which way to go. See, they had to watch and see which way the ark went in order to know where to go. Now, you know, there was a whole bunch of them. There was 12 different tribes. Now, and they had a certain order in which they march. You can find that out. Go read it over there in Exodus. It tells you the certain order. Each tribe would go in order. Just like, how many of you ever been in, I don't know nothing about the other part branches. I was out there 3 years in the army. So how many of you ever been in the army? Hey, I was one of the squad leaders in the second platoon. So that meant that the first platoon was up in front of us marching. If they went wrong, the rest of us went wrong. Hello? Right? Because we were following the guys in front of us. We couldn't see up there. It was real funny. I took my basic up at Fort Leonard, Missouri. I was the last training regiment to train with the old M1 Grand rifle that they'd used in World War II. This was in 62. And I was the last training regiment that slept in the old World War II barracks up there. They tore them down after we left and built brick ones. But we'd be out there and Lieutenant be up in front of them, and he would stop the whole company. And he'd say, and then he'd step out to the side over where we could see him. He'd say, "Second platoon, they have face." We'd go do our left face. He'd march us out. Then he'd make us do our right face. He'd march us up, put us back in front of the first platoon. Now, he was a tall guy, about 6'4", or half, about 6'4", 6'5", somewhere in there. And all of us squad leaders on the second platoon, we were all over 6 feet tall. And we'd get back in there, and we'd start to march, coming back from firing range or wherever we'd been. And he'd over his shoulder, he'd say, "Okay, boys, let's go to barracks." He'd say, "Route step," and then he would take off, man. And we would take off right behind him. Those little short guys, about 5 foot, they're on the tail of the company running to keep up. Any of you guys have any guys like that in your company when you're up? Yeah. But he put us up in front because we all had long legs like he did, so we could make a long, we could really kick it out. We could kick it out rather than 120 per. I don't know what we was doing, but we were covering some territory in a hurry. But they had to follow. Nobody could get out of line. They had to follow right behind the ark. They had specific instructions of what they were supposed to do. And you see, he told them to get ready because they had gone where they'd never been before. That's why they got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, or the Ark of the Covenant, which was the power and the presence of God. That's why we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants to take us where we've never been before. He wants to give us blessings that we've never had before. But we got to follow him. We can't get off course. You got to stay there. They were going to a new place to live. They were going to a new level of blessing. They were going to a new level of provision that they'd never known about before. This was a new day. But it was the day they had been waiting for. No more wandering in the wilderness. No more traveling through a land that wasn't their own. No more just living on barely get along street. They were going to where all their needs would be met. This was a pivotal moment, though. They could make a choice. They could either choose to follow God's leading or stay where they were. There. The promised land is across the river, but there they can stay there. They're still God's children, but they can stay where they're at. In fact, one tribe and a half of the other tribe decided that they're going to stay on the other side of the Jordan. They weren't going to the promised land. They chose to stay over there in the wilderness. Can you believe that? They're still God's children. There's some people, they're born again. Some of them even spirit filled. But they choose not to walk in all the abundant supply that God has for them. It's our choice. God has given it. We're the ones that have to receive it. Yeah. We're faced with that choice. We can either stay where we're at. Well, I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Okay. But I'm going to get me a little bit of heaven and go to heaven in. Hello. We can choose to stay where we're at, or we can embrace the new day. We can embrace getting all the blessing, the abundant blessing of God. He said, "I want you to have life and have it more abundantly." Not just abundant living, more abundantly. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "In the acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation, behold now." Not next week, not next year. Behold, now is the time. The New English says that. I say, the day of deliverance has dawned. For them, the day of deliverance had dawned out of the wilderness into the promised land. See, you know, Joshua 3:5, the first part of that scripture says, sanctify yourself. The New Translation then says, he told the people, purify yourself. The New International Version says, consecrate yourself. The Voice Translation says, do all the rituals, ritual purifications, and prepare yourself. You see, there was specific instructions in the Mosaic Covenant that told them how to sanctify themselves or purify themselves so that they could receive from God. If you ever go to Israel, you'll see that they've uncovered a lot of that in the steps that are going up and to go into the temple. They've uncovered all these pools where people would go. They walk down in one set of steps and they dip below the water and they walk up the other side in a purification act. They don't go back up the same steps. They got another set they go out on because of the fact that they would unsanctify themselves. They would unpurify themselves walking back up those steps. That was all ritual stuff. But it's what they had to do. They were preparing themselves. They were getting ready to go to the promised land. You know, we might say they were fixing. You know, I remember first time Dad, I think he was preaching up, preached somewhere and up north somewhere. Maybe it was Canada. I don't know. They said, Brother Hagin, what do you mean when you say fixing? He said, well, that means that I'm getting ready. I'm coming. It's getting ready to go. I'm fixing to do it. In other words, anybody ever say I'm fixing to do that? That means you come in, so you're getting ready. They were fixing to do it. Now, you know, some people say, well, I'm clean. I don't need to purify myself. Well, are you? Do you have any unbelief left in you? If so, you need to purify. You know, any doubt? You see, sanctifying ourselves is being cleansed by feeding on the Word of God until we are fully convinced that what the Word says is true. See, there's many people read it and they say, okay, I agree with that. But they don't really believe it. You ever seen anybody like that? They read the Bible, but you can tell that they don't really believe it because they're not acting on it. If you really believe something, you will act on it. Come on. See, sanctify yourself. If you want to be ready to receive from God, you got to be in a place of faith. Everybody say, the place of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's why we talk about faith all the time. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him or please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You have to believe, diligently believe, that the Word of God, these scriptures, these promises are going to come to pass in your life. The abundant life. The abundant life. Everybody, how many of you would like to have abundant life? Abundant blessing. Okay, how many of you got a Bible or a device with the Bible on it? Hold it up. Say this. This is my way to abundant blessing. Hallelujah. It's all right there. See, God's already done all he's going to do about us having abundant blessing. We have to do something about it. We have to build our faith up. We have to act on what the Word of God said. You know, some people, we need to grow our faith. Just like everybody that's born, I mean, we all got biceps, muscles. But there's a whole lot of you in here. If we go over to the gym, you're going to be able to lift a whole lot more weight than I do. You're going to be able to probably do heavier curls than I can do. Why? Because you've been working out more than I have. I haven't been working out at all. I ain't lifted a weight in a while. But I still got muscle. And it's pretty good, but it's not good as it could be if I would work it out. Hello. So everybody in here has faith. But some people's faith is stronger than other people's faith. Why? Because they've been feeding on the Word of God. They've been feeding on the Word of God. You know, Paul tells the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith, what? Grows exceedingly. That's a scripture you need to look at and remember. He told them that he would, actually, if you want to say it the way we'd say it, Paul said, I am so thankful and proud of you guys because you are growing your faith. That might be the way we would say it. He said, your faith grows exceedingly. But their faith was growing because they were in the Word. They were believing the Word. They were acting on the Word. You know, now the latter part of that 3:5 says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things, NIV says. New English Translation says, for the Lord will perform miracle deeds among you. You see, here he's telling the Israelites, okay, get ready to move out. For tomorrow, God is going to do something. He's going to move. But it's only if you're ready. Now, he told them 3 days ahead of time, he had told them to get ready to go. If you'll read the whole story before this. Because it says, when we start reading this chapter, it says, after 3 days, they went through the camp. See, he had already told them in 3 days. So they had 3 days to get all their provisions ready, to get everything to move out, to get the, you know, to sanctify themselves. Now, if I said to somebody, hey, I want you to go to the next crusade with me. We'll be leaving in 3 days. Get ready. Okay? Do you just sit around? Say, well, hey, 3 days, I'm gonna go to Pastor Hagin. I'm gonna go to one of his crusades. 3 days, I'm going. Well, it come time, I say, okay, let's go. Come on, get in the car. We got to go out to the airport and get on the plane. Oh, wait a minute. I got to get some clothes. I'm sorry. We got to go. Maybe next time. I told you 3 days ago, get ready. Hello. Now, let's bring it down a little closer. How many of you have had kids or you got kids? You ever told them, okay, hey, get yourself ready because we're going to go on vacation Friday afternoon when I get off work. We're going on vacation. So y'all be ready. How many of you ever come home and you say, okay, let's pack the car. Bring your stuff. Oh, Dad, I'm not ready yet. Let me go upstairs and get stuff ready. Anybody ever been there? Oh, I get a lot of hands. Maybe even the wife wasn't even ready. Oh, that's really bad. See, they had 3 days to get ready. You see, God was moving in their life. He had told them, get ready. Now, at the moment that ark moved out, they better be ready to go. Because it wasn't waiting. That's why we need to stay in the Word, reading and praying all the time, so we're ready for any divine appointment. that God has for us. So we're ready to move. See, it's when we're ready, prepared, and believe in God that we'll find that the supernatural will begin to operate in our lives. And we can move with Him and see things begin to happen that we've never thought of. And as we walk and follow the Spirit of God, we will find that the power of God is there to lead you and to guide you into all places that you need to go. But it's only when you're ready that I can use you. So stay with me, stay with my word, stay with my spirit, and you'll see that you'll wind up on top and you'll be shouting with glee. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. See, God wants us to get into the abundant life. He's not a dealer in lack. He's a dealer in abundance. Hello? God is leading us and wants us to enjoy His maximum, superabundant, over the top promises. See, sure, I know that sitting in this congregation and listening to me there on the internet and on Facebook Live, there's some of you been going through some stuff, trouble. But I want to tell you something. God wants you to enjoy His abundant supply. He wants you to enjoy that maximum supply, over the top supply. You know, He said there in Luke 6:38, when you'd give, He'd give back to you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Now, that's talking about some finances, but He wants to give you a running over life in every area of your life, not just finances, but every area of your life. I know you've been facing some trouble, but you need to start saying, hey, the Word of God says that I'm more than a conqueror. The Word of God says that I'm above and not beneath. The Word of God says that I can have not, and not be on the don't have side. I can be on the have side because God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Hallelujah. Stand up and praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I got to win a little bit more, but the Holy Spirit came in there and God gave out an utterance there. There's no use of me trying to add to it. Just close it down right there. I learned that long. I've been doing this over 60 years. I learned a lot long time ago. When the Spirit of God speaks, it's time for you to shut up. How many of you got anything? I mean, that came up in my spirit just like that. And man, I'll have to go back and listen. I didn't see what I did say, but it was good. I remember Him telling us to follow Him and we're going to end up on top. I do remember that much of it. Amen. You know, sometimes people will come to you after you've given an utterance like that in the spirit, and they say, could you, I didn't get all that. Could you say that again? No. Because it wasn't me doing it. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying what I hear the Spirit of God say. Amen. Go back. It's on the CD. It'll be on the CD. Get the CD and listen at it. Praise God. Anybody get anything this morning? God wants you to live the abundant life. He wants you to enjoy life. But you don't do it just by hanging out here on the outside somewhere. You got to be involved. Any of you ever played on a sports team? As y'all all know, I love sports. I've played it all my life. And you know, I never was. I've noticed that there's some guys, even there on the football, we're on the sideline. There's some guys that are hanging way over here on the side. They're on the backside here, you know. I tell you what, I was always right there with my group and right wheel up there by the coach. I was always up there by the coach. I was pretty close to the coach. Because sometimes when if he's looking for somebody to put in, he just turn around and if he see you, hey, get in there, Hagin. How many know what I'm talking about? See, hang around close to God. Some people, they're on the team, but they're off here somewhere. And they're not really ready because they hadn't been watching the game. I mean, I tell you, when I was on that sideline, I was watching the position that I was going to play. I was watching the opposition, seeing what they were going to do. So when I got in there, I knew how I could defeat them. Come on now. How many of you ready to get on the abundant side? Get right up next to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Rich, you got anything you want to sing?
Absolutely.
All right,
my God is more than enough. He does supply all my needs. He is the El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh.
Does this like this couple just did? Hey, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know what I've seen? I've seen people just follow that just to be, and it's not going to bless them at all. But they're going to be blessed because God spoke to their heart. I didn't say anything about anybody
Absolutely.
Come down here, putting that. But
good.
You see, that's what God told them to do.
Absolutely.
Let's
that's
rejoice
good.
With them because God's
yes.
meeting. Because what they did,
yes.
God's meeting their supply. You see, sometimes, let me do a little pastoral teaching here. Just because you see somebody else do something, don't do it. If the Spirit prompts you.
Come on, that's it.
That's one thing. If the Spirit says, hey, what they did, you need to do. That's one thing. But it's another thing, just do it because, oh man, hey, that's what they're doing. I guess that's what everybody's doing. Well, we don't have to do what everybody does. We do what the Spirit of God says.
He directs us. Yeah, that's right.
Hello. Oh, praise God. I want everybody to have the blessings of God. But just don't follow somebody else, what they do, just because they did it. I've seen that, you know, I guess growing up in this, I've seen it all my life. I've seen people just do it because somebody else did it.
Right.
You know what? I've seen people do something because somebody else did it and they got in trouble, but the other person didn't have nothing happen to them. Now, come on now. Is that good pastoral teaching?
Yeah.
Pastor loves his congregation. I love everybody, but man, you guys, I like to preach to you better than I like to preach to anybody else. Hallelujah to Jesus. God said that he would meet our needs. Amen.
Yes.
Bow your heads for me just a moment. I've talked about the abundant living. But you can't get abundant living if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know him before you leave here. If you know what it is to serve God and have that abundant life, but you know you're not where you need to be, you need to rededicate yourself to God. Or you're in this place and you say, well, I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak in tongues. Anybody in here You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand. I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you right now. Let me see your hand anywhere in the room. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody, anywhere in the room, this is your opportunity to change your life forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, lift your hands and thank God for the power of God. Father, if anybody in this crowd does not know you, Son Jesus, as Lord and Savior, or anybody in this crowd that needs to rededicate their life, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them and they will not be able to do anything until they stop and recognize your Son Jesus as Lord of their life. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. While I was praying, the Lord said, there's some out there that need to pray the sinner's prayer and some of you that need to pray it in rededication. If that's you, I want you to reach your hand toward that screen and I want you to pray this prayer, repeat it after me with this congregation. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sin. I believe that he arose again from the grave. I believe that he's sitting at your right hand. You said in your holy word, if I would believe these things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I believe my heart and I confess them with my mouth. And I thank you now. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. If you happen to be praying that prayer with us, I wish you'd go right there on your computer and go to partnerservice@rhema.org and tell us about it. We want to connect with you, send you some things. So if you'll do that, we really appreciate you. Thank you. Hey, welcome to the family and welcome back to you that needed to rededicate your life to God. Praise God. Let's thank God for those. I don't know who they were, but the Spirit of God knew who they were. He wanted to touch them. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, glory to God. Remember all the announcements. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to that special place where they can receive their special gift. Staff, go to the door so we can shake hands with you. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock right here. Be here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. Next Sunday, we start with camp meeting. Amen? So, hey, get ready. What's that mean? Get in the Word. Pray. Get ready to receive a blessing yourself and get ready to be a blessing to somebody. Praise the Lord. On Rhema.tv, we had 1,812. On Facebook Live, we had 968 people tune in. I don't know how many of them stayed with us, but hey, that's our e-church out there. That's that many people was out there besides what's in the auditorium here. Praise God. Glory to God. You know how we dismiss around here and we sing a chorus. Let you guys, let me get down that aisle and then he'll dismiss you. I see a lot of people over there. I'm going to come down that east aisle over there, so better be ready because I'm barreling down there. All right. God bless. See you tonight.
Come on, let's sing it now. Oh.